I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 3rd, 2025, and I had very different ideas about the direction I was going to take with this video today from the one that I am going to take. Mark Carney's book can wait. I got an email this morning from the fellow behind the petition that I shared the other day, which is now just shy of 3,700 signatures. And there have been some questions about this individual's identity. And I can tell you, he's just a young guy trying to do something different, trying to do something good. First off, you can sign the petition without donating any money to change.org. Ostensibly, they use the money to advertise the petition to a broader audience, but participation is voluntary if you want to do that. I don't even recommend that you do that. Sovereign Saskatchewan, for the best of my knowledge, the man behind this petition isn't raising money for anything. He's just a guy trying to do something. He writes, "I want to make clear that my efforts with Sovereign Saskatchewan are rooted entirely in objectivity, focusing on the advancement, engagement, and education of all matters related to sovereignty and autonomy for Saskatchewan. I think those things are important to bring up. There is a well-established, 150-year-long history of Ottawa getting it wrong on Western Canada. And in the moment that we live in, right now in 2025, the greatest existential threat to Western Canada that it has ever faced occupies the Prime Minister's office, thankfully in a minority government. Thankfully, the NDP hasn't folded up after 5 days. Thankfully, they're not looking for a formal partnership. Maybe we get another election. The CPC's in a bit of disarray because they have to get Polyev back into the House. Glad they've decided to hang on to him because that's the smart move. There's been some just criticism of Pierre Polyev's leadership in the CPC, and I think I've done my fair share of it in my video work. For those who think I'm just some kind of CPC shill, go back and watch my work. I don't pull punches, but Polyev's the best they got. He's the top, he's the peak. Getting rid of him would be a mistake. He brought the Conservatives 7 points. Some of it came from the center, and the Liberals are capped out. As Carney reveals his hands, and maybe Carney's a smart guy. It's a mistake to think he's a clown. Some of the pundits out there, some of the biggest pundits out there, took this guy to be a clown. I don't know how they could. He is a shrewd and brilliant man. And I would say he's very devious because he can say one thing and say another thing within seconds apart. So it's hard to gauge his center. He's like a walking poker face. But to think he's a clown, to think he's not smart, to think he doesn't know what he's doing, to think he's not calculating and premeditated is a huge mistake that Canada could make. And Western Canada should not take him at his word unless it comes from his book. But more on that later. Another part of this email, and I hope the individual whose identity I'm going to protect doesn't mind me reading this out. I usually don't read private communications, but he raised a couple points that I could raise other ways, but I want to give credit where credit is due. So he wants to make clear what his intentions are. He also received an email from somebody that he thought was a radio host here in the province, raising concerns about the perceived disorganization within this movement and questioning its structure. And he says, "I feel proud to defend the values of the petition, but in all honesty, this is just me. And therefore, he's correct, and I'm still trying to build a foundation, so to speak." And that's where unified grassroots come in, because they're very organized. But sweeping that aside for a minute, these are early days for us, okay? The threat is new. Everything was thrown at Mark Carney to try and defeat him from a people perspective, and everything from a perspective of power and establishment politics was thrown at Pierre Polyev to beat him. And I don't understand this idea that is it that everybody thinks it's this huge psyop that the media, the bureaucracy, the Americans, the Liberals, the unions, the PPC, everybody throwing everything they had and dedicating all of their resources to defeat the Pierre Polyev-led CPC is a psyop because the CPC with Pierre Polyev in leadership is fake, false opposition. And you can see there's a differentiation. Fake opposition implies controlled opposition, implies that it's all part of a plan. Now, I prefer to take the track that they're trying to win an election, they're trying to cut a Gordian knot in a Canada where conservatives have always had a very narrow path to power. It's almost like there hasn't been enough pain and suffering yet for Canadians to embrace change. Obviously, We just went through this election. The Liberals got a large chunk of votes, a few hundred thousand votes more than the CPC got. And I think that's very instructive. But I can't go deep enough to sit here and say that every single power structure opposing the election of the conservatives from Trump to the Liberals, do you understand that the Liberal Party under Mark Carney and Donald Trump were aligned in their efforts to defeat the conservative movement here in Canada? The conservative movement that gathered in 41.3% of the vote, all of these people from the PPC or people who sit on the sidelines thinking they've got the answers when their leader can't get elected dog catcher and they literally have no respectability in mainstream politics. Pierre went coast to coast to coast filling arenas, filling airport hangars, filling warehouses with thousands of people. That speaks, folks. I don't know how you can miss the message. So something's working, and people will say, well, yes, but it wasn't enough. Well, what is enough? How exactly in this left-of-center country do you expect to win an election? The people who play politics should be trying to win elections. Everybody who's talking about the Overton window and all this other nonsense and all these PPCers who are running around acting like they won something or acting like they have something to teach. You guys shouldn't be in politics. You should be in culture and social media. You shouldn't be trying to advance a political party because you're not trying to win elections. You're literally losing worse than you've ever lost before. Your ideas suck. So the CPC is on to something. Wasn't enough this time, but look at the country you're living in. And I don't like that they oppose peace in Ukraine. I don't like that they don't want a settlement there. I didn't like their approach to Trump. I don't like the commitment, the continuing commitment to the Paris Climate Treaty. I think we got to abandon that. If we want to have a strong country, we got to get away from this net zero nonsense. And that's a criticism I can level at Scott Moe. I can level at Daniel Smith. I can level at all these people. The problem that I face is that I am able, I can look at things from multiple perspectives other than my own. I have what I'm shooting for. And the interesting thing is that I'm shooting for multiple things at the same time because I've been through this enough. I've done enough of this political stuff to know that one path may get cut off. So you want to develop multiple paths. You want to progress on multiple fronts, all leading towards your goal. It's like trying to navigate through a forest by multiple paths and you come across a bunch of fallen trees or you run into a mountain lion or something and you can't pass. You got to be able to backtrack and go forward again. I can look at things from multiple perspectives other than my own, analytically. So I can sit here and have a conversation with you about how the NDP rebuilds from their perspective. I can sit here and I can talk to you from the perspective of the CPC. I can even talk to you from the perspective of the Liberals, but it leaves such a bad taste in my mouth, I don't want to do it. I'm only human. There's only so far I can go. When I used to do management work, I made decisions on a routine basis that hurt me to the benefit of the people that I managed. Because it was the right thing to do and I could see things from multiple perspectives. I'm starting to understand that this is not a common human trait. Somebody called it dialectical thinking. I don't know if that's what it is, but I digress. Listen, when it comes to the sovereignist movements in Alberta and Saskatchewan, it's early days. You don't have to have all the answers, and the people who are trying to peg you into a corner to try and get you to have all the answers are just trying to demoralize and gaslight you. They expect that in these nascent days that you will have every single answer, that you will have a formal organization, that you will have a path and a plan and all these other things, and that's when they're not calling you a traitor outright. Even though, in Quebec, their whole identity is built around the sovereignty movement. I don't understand the double standard. I don't understand why Western Canada can't develop it. We're building the bricks, the foundation right now. I know there's been talk for decades. I know there's been attempts in the past. But this is a different situation. We've never faced maybe the National Energy Program under Trudeau the First. Maybe that was a similar threat. But I think this is much greater because that was about ownership of the resources. The elder Trudeau didn't want to strand the resources in the ground, to my knowledge anyway. Maybe he did. But it was a matter of who owned them and who had the right to extract the revenue from them. Now, these guys don't even want the money coming out of the ground. Carney wants to just print money out of thin air to compensate you, robbing everybody else. He talks about the cost of he's been talking about the cost of living as his number one priority in his press conference that he did yesterday. Yet they intend to add $250 billion to our national debt, which is money out of nothing. It's not going to fix anything. They don't have a plan to fix anything. His coffin home plan, his modular housing plan, which will benefit the companies that he's worked for, isn't really a plan. It's not really a future that people should aspire to. We had better dreams in decades prior, and we had an expectation that we could reach those dreams. And that's what's lost, and he campaigned on a commitment to make sure that it's lost permanently. He didn't campaign to restore prosperity. He campaigned against it. He specifically said that we were heading into a period of suffering, that the relationship with the United States is over, and his own prime minister's office predicted that by 2040, you're going to be eating squirrels to survive. I don't know why people voted for it. I think they're going to figure it out, whether we get another election or not, or how this is all going to flesh out on the federal level. That's something to be determined, something that is still up in the air. But the fact is, we can pursue federal politics at the exact same time as we pursue different ideas. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the people who are demanding all the answers, don't feel like you have to have them. Because right now, it's time to get motivated. It's time to lodge your displeasure. It's time to sign those petitions. It's time to build the registry like the Alberta Prosperity Project is doing. Build up that registry. Get the names together. This is the getting organized. Formalizing it will happen in the months ahead. And I do think it's a matter of months. I don't think it's years. I don't think we have that long. Carney's in office. He's going down Monday morning to see Trump. Whether he kisses the ring, none of us know what's going to come out of that. On a slightly different note, he invited the king over here to give the throne speech. You know, and I said on Twitter, what kind of a free nation still has a king? And I didn't know how many people believe that monarchy is the best path forward. That there's nothing wrong with the design of this federation. Most of them come from the center of the country. That's another reason why we should seek divorce. It's the federation is so fundamentally backwards, and the people are so fundamentally backwards in terms of the people who support the Liberal Party. They don't understand that they're voting against their own prosperity. It's disgusting. At any rate, back to the point, back to the email. You don't have to feel like you have to have all the answers right now, because they don't exist in many parts. We're days into this reaction. We haven't even seen what Mark Carney's going to do, what cards he's going to lay first. Now's the time to organize. Another thing that he highlights, something that has frustrated and confused me, is the need to defend myself against accusations such as those from Corey Morgan of Western Standard, who has labeled petitions as grifters and opportunists. This grifters and opportunists, he also reached out, but he's dismissed because they want to render their opinion, but they don't want to actually share their audience with the person that they're potentially labeling a grifter. And it's really unfair. Like, why can't people make money for the work that they do? There was an individual, and this is why I'm getting a little cluster mugged here. There was an individual in my comments section that responded to my second last video where I said that I give you everything for free and you decide what it's worth. And she said, that's communism. Why are you being a commie? I mean, I'm not forcing anybody to watch. I'm not forcing anybody to pay. I'm choosing a methodology of communication that, dare I say and use the word, is inclusive, because I want the audience, regardless of their socioeconomic circumstances, to be able to watch everything that I'm producing. That's a choice I've made. And whether it succeeds or not remains to be seen. But the idea that it's communistic, does the Western Standard not make money? Do these other media organizations, through one means or another, and I'm not judging, make money? This guy's not even trying to make money, and he's being labeled a grifter. Yeah, some people are out there literally just trying to do good things. And it's really unfair, and I don't understand why, at this point, with the threat that we're facing, and maybe it's just a lack of understanding, maybe Corey Morgan doesn't understand the existential threat that Mark Carney represents to Western interests. Maybe it hasn't sunk in yet. I wonder if he's read Carney's book. I wonder if Daniel Smith's read his book. I wonder if Moe has. Do they even have time to read a book? It's a fairly lengthy book. It's pretty dry. But I don't know, at this point, it should almost be mandatory reading, or at the very least watching my reviews of it so you get a sense of what it is we're coming up against. And maybe I'm just ahead of the curve again. Maybe there's a lot of us who are just ahead of the curve and we have to wait for events to catch up, which is another reason why all these people who are demanding total organization right out the gate have unfair expectations. Maybe we're not there yet. We have to wait for events to catch up to us. At any rate, it does discourage new people in this game to have to be labeled and have their characters besmirched. I often forget what it's like for anybody new who's trying to do content creation or trying to build anything online or offline, politically. People are shooting you down the entire way, mostly anons, but not always anons. Some people in big positions will pick on people in small positions. And it's hard because if you exist in the real world, you go to work, you deal with your family, you deal with your friends, people might criticize you, but they're careful. They're diplomatic. Face-to-face communications are different. And honestly, I think people should bring their ability to have face-to-face communications and the methodology that they use to approach face-to-face communications. You should be doing that online as much as you possibly can. It's not easy because the separation between you and the other person, often anonymous, creates a lot of latitude to be an asshole. Pardon my French. But that's what it is. There's a lot of people online being assholes all the time, including me at times. But I really work against it, and I continue to work against it. And I think I have improved drastically over the last 7 years in terms of how I communicate with people. Sometimes it gets a bit spicy, but so does debate face-to-face. So there's a balance here. But the bottom line is most people aren't even trying. They're very cruel. So a good-natured person comes walking into the world of social media, comes walking into the world of politics, and they get cut down mercilessly and they have no experience with that kind of toxic response. So to those people who are new in the game, including the person who set up this petition, I say to you, don't take it seriously. Even though I still struggle with it at times, I'm getting better and better. My skin is so thick now. I remember back in 2018 and 2019, I used to feel like I had to argue with everybody because I took it all so personally. When somebody besmirched my character and called me names and did all these things, I felt like I had to defend myself and I had to win. Maybe that's how I built my initial following. I don't know. But now, most of the time, I just scroll right on past it. I forget about it. And that's the other thing. If you stand up and you walk away, or even mentally, you walk away from the insults and the invective, you'll find that it disappears from your mind within a few minutes. Sometimes within a few seconds, you just forget all about it because it doesn't matter. It's just noise. It's designed to demoralize you. It's designed to derail you. It's designed to gaslight you. In a sense, it's the essence of evil. People trying to tear you down all the time. So this is one of the reasons why I shared the darn petition in the first place. The individual tagged me on Twitter and said, look, I started this petition. You know, can you have a look at it? And I looked at it and I read it and I thought, this is decently worded. There's nothing in here I really disagree with. In that first iteration, I haven't thoroughly read all the updates, but I imagine it just builds on the theme. There's nothing risque. There's nothing I disagreed with. And, you know, it's like the person has, whatever, 100 followers on their X account. And I got all this. It 50-odd thousand, 52,000, I don't even know what I got anymore. I barely keep track of the number. It goes up. I want to share that with people. That's another thing that I see. A lot of people with clout don't share it. There's a lot of small accounts out there trying to do things, trying to create things. You should share your clout. Nobody shares it. Nobody tries to build other people up. Actually, I shouldn't say nobody. No. That's inaccurate. Some do, some don't. I think the majority don't. The majority are interested in building up their brand. And I think they see all the other content creators as competition. because they're competing for the mind share of the public. And I don't even worry about it. You know, I don't even worry about it. I produce what I produce. I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do. And whether it succeeds or not, like, look, if the number stops going up and the number goes down, for some reason I trip all over myself and I make a great big fool out of myself and nothing I do works anymore, and everybody stops tuning in, that's pretty liberating. I think that's what people don't understand about me. If you stopped watching and you stopped participating and you stopped paying attention and all of a sudden nobody was watching anything, I'd walk away and I'd be like, yay, I failed. Now I can just go back and do the blood and sweat thing again, because this is counter to my nature. And I realize as I go forward, you know, there's some things coming up, bigger events that I might be participating in. There's a future where there's a more physical, real world presence to what I'm doing. It's not really fundamental to my nature to go to conferences where there's thousands of people in attendance and talk to them. It's not that I won't do it. It's just I'm more interested in trees and birds and hanging out with my kids and all those things. But I care about the world, so I do it. It's not, maybe saying that I'm not interested in it isn't the right way to express it. If I was a selfish man, if I truly served only my self-interest, I would probably be in introverted isolation for the rest of my life. But then I ask myself, like, what good does that do? I read a lot of books. I study a lot of things. I have, there's a lot of subjects I don't even talk about on the channel because I don't have time. I'm focused on politics and social affairs. But, like, I do a lot of arcane reading about archaeology and biology and science and space, and there's a lot of interests I don't even get to. And I just think to myself, like, what good does knowledge do if you're not trying to share and do something with it? Like, what good is a pile of bricks if you don't assemble it into a structure, you know? That rant was fairly organic. I wasn't expecting to do it, but I think I'm going to leave the whole thing in anyway. I want to get some stuff off my desktop because it's getting pretty cluttered. I just want to go over this list. Liberal, 2015 to 2025 accomplishments, worst housing affordability ever, skyrocketing national debt, rampant inflation, homelessness, tent cities, violent crime rates soaring, opioid deaths on the rise, healthcare system breakdown, bank account freezes during protests, ethics scandals, censorship, citizens, food bank use at record highs, excessive government spending, 25-year high interest rates, reckless immigration policy. I don't know why the interest rates part's in there. But I guess it is a symptomatic, and this just brings up a point. This isn't complaining, folks. There are people who are just like, stop your bitching. I see it online all the time. This is reminding. This is the record that 8 million people decided to vote for in this country, and another reminder that 8 million people decided not to vote for it. Actually, more than that if you include the other parties. So this country isn't quite as red as people think it is. A lot of people voted blue. It wasn't enough this time. But eventually the pain will get so much that they will have to see the record for what it is. This is just a little screen cap to remind people. The Canadian government has committed a total of $60 billion to the National Housing Strategy since 2018. The strategy includes various programs aimed at building more homes, repairing existing housing, and making housing more affordable for Canadians. $60 billion is a lot of money. Do you think it's worked since 2018? Has all this so-called investment, because Mark Carney loves the word investment, has $60 billion led to more housing supply, led to cheaper, led to anything positive? In tandem with all the other liberal policies, mass immigration, allowing the mass scale of drug trafficking to go on, we'll get to that again in this video, all the things, the money laundering, the price of a home has just become so far out of reach for most people in most places in this country. The thing that people voted for and decided to return to Parliament hasn't worked, and they're just going to do more of it. So you're saying that tobacco products on race cars will make me want to smoke, but gay and drag queen storybooks won't influence my life choices. They wouldn't put it in the public schools if it wasn't designed to influence your child's young and impressionable mind and encourage them down roads which they may not have otherwise gone down. It's politicization, it's ideology, and it's becoming rampant, particularly in Ontario and BC, but it's making inroads everywhere across this country. And it's hurting a lot of children. Permanent immigrants with disability in Canada, we have over 1.6 million people in a country of 40 million people that are immigrants from other countries that have disabilities, which means they qualify for government support. Why are we doing this? This is just one of those deeply flawed things that Canada does. Immigration's fine in my book. Economic immigration. I think a country needs to sit down and say to itself, what do we need? And then only take from the world or allow from the world to come into your country what you want. You don't have to take everybody. This bleeding heart nonsense, it's not going to destroy our country. It is destroying our country. It is a factor. There's 1,000 wounds bleeding this nation out. This is just one of them. Man who attacked female tourist in Vancouver had been released from custody for separate assault hours earlier. I've been covering this for a while, covering how people are getting stabbed in the morning and then the person who stabs them runs into them in the street. Later on in the same day, catch and release justice. The RCMP has publicly released its Freedom Convoy internal review and it's damning for liberals. Officers complained of heavy political pressure, ministers manipulating intelligence for their own ends, and discomfort over the Emergencies Act. This is just a reminder that when it came to the convoy, whose greatest crime was honking horns and blocking streets, something that Palestinian protesters do all the time, something that Khalistanis do, and a number of other ethnic groups, we've had Eritreans and Ethiopians fighting in the streets of Calgary. Very little media coverage. This stuff is going on all the time, but the Freedom Convoy, there was massive, I would say military power, but you look at the guns and firearms they had available to them. You look at the scale of the response. There was massive paramilitary, let's go with that, massive paramilitary force available to deploy against the Freedom Convoy. People's bank accounts were seized extrajudicially. All the things we already know should be a concern to everybody on the left, on the right, but it's not for some reason, mainly because it suits the left's political objectives, so they say nothing about it. When this power is finally deployed against you, then you'll understand why it was so important to pay attention when it was deployed against your perceived enemies. But there's all kinds of power for these operations. There's all kinds of power to arrest a guy for selling eggs. But there seems to be no power to keep violent criminals in jail. Released and rearrested convicted trafficker in Canada's largest carfentanil case breached bail within weeks. Ottawa's obstruction of DEA carfentanil probe underscores Carney-Poilievre clash on sentencing. It's not just sentencing. It's encouragement. It's allowing our ports to be wide open so that the raw ingredients can come into Canada, be assembled, and then shipped to the world. 83% of Australia's methamphetamine comes from Canada. How is that even real? How is that even possible? Up to 100 times what we seize going across the border into the United States. Up to 100 times of the amount we seize at the border of illegal drugs ends up in the United States unseized. When people were talking about the drug and money laundering issue because it was the issue of the day and I made all these videos about it, people kept talking about seizures being less on the northern border than on the southern border. There's very little in terms of search. We don't search any of our rail traffic. So Canada's wide open, which brings together another question, which I highlighted last night on X. What happened to the 10,000 troops, personnel, whatever you want to call them, that were supposed to be deployed to the Canadian border? All those Black Hawk flights and all that high-profile enforcement of the Canadian border that went on, whatever happened to it? The government doesn't mention it. The provinces aren't talking about it. Donald Trump isn't talking about it. Are we actually going to solve the drug problem, or was it just a bunch of PR for a while and we've all just moved on? What happened to the fentanyl czar? Have we had an update as to the progress that he's making or what he's up to on a day-to-day basis? His itinerary? The public mind can only contain so much. And this is where memory and perspective comes in. You have to remember, going forward, what the stories of the day were weeks and months ago, so that you can understand more thoroughly how things that are so important just come to disappear off the radar. And this is something that shouldn't disappear. Because with the government that's just been reelected, the soft-on-crime policies are just going to continue. The apologism for drug addicts and violent criminals is just going to continue. I can't even believe it. Canada's in such bad shape, and most of it comes down to the judiciary and the judiciary obeying the law that has been passed by the Liberal Party. There's a video, if you don't go too far back on my channel, where I revisit C-75 and what that did to our justice system. The reason your streets suck and are unsafe is largely because of C-75 and the judiciary following its guidelines. And these are things that just disappear from the public mind as the conversation seems to always wrap around one or two themes every single day, maybe for several days in a row, and then the hive mind just moves on from thing to thing to thing, like a bee buzzing from flower to flower to flower, lacking the perspective of being able to zoom out and see the whole garden full of flowers. Flowers are a bad analogy for this stuff, but whatever. You get the point. No time behind bars for man who stabbed Alberta sisters in his Vancouver Airbnb unit. This is, this stuff is every day. Every single day, you can find a basket full of headlines like this. Sex offenders being released into the public. The public gets a warning. This person's going to be released into your neighborhood. He's raped a couple kids. Be aware, he's coming. And then after that, his location's protected. His privacy is protected. The whole system bends itself around the fact that, this man served his time, so he has a right to be protected. We have a registry. You don't have the right to have access to the registry. The public doesn't get to know. In the United States, in many places, when sex offenders are released, their whereabouts are known to the public, as it should be. Here, we protect them. Like I said, I just want to get some stuff off the desk. This comment, I don't even know why it's here, so we're going to read it together. Excellent discussion. Thank you. It sounds like there was an organic decision by NDPers to vote Liberal to save Canada from a conservative Trump mini-me. It's that, and it is Singh's bad leadership. I would, just off the top of my head, think it's probably two-thirds voting with the Liberals to save, in their minds, Canada from Pierre Poilievre, and a third that were just disgusted by Jagmeet Singh's rubber stamping of everything Liberal, and just couldn't support it anymore. And some of that support, by the way, that went, like, the CPC picked up a lot more votes from the center than the PPC's collapse in popular support from 2021. Like the math. They picked up something like 40% more than that collapse represents. So they came from somewhere. Some of them inevitably came from the NDP because there were NDPers that would never vote Liberal, more so than they would never vote Conservative. These people with TDS make me sick. I'm so disheartened by my fellow Canadians. And to be honest, there's something too on the nose with Conservatives not only losing, but Pierre losing his own seat. While there was the gerrymandering, there was a concerted spending effort in his riding. There was a concerted organizational effort in his riding. Like I said, Trump derangement syndrome had outsized influence on the people who live in Ottawa because it's an existential crisis to their way of life. All of those things worked against Pierre. His location was always, in my mind anyway, a potential liability moving forward. And this election cycle just brought that liability to fruition. I don't think it's actually an indicator of him as an MP. I think it's an indicator of the political climate that we live in right now. Because again, in a year where the CPC grew its support to record numbers, him losing his seat in Ottawa has to be explained by other factors. And it's just weak sauce talking points to highlight that as a defining issue. And I see this happening with PPCers a lot. They're just full on. Your leader couldn't even win his own seat, or they call him my boy. Your boy couldn't even do it. He's not my boy. I don't have a Conservative Party membership. It's as simple as that. I just speak to the perspective. I was a Conservative Party voter this election, And I'll probably still be one in the next election, even if my focus shifts to sovereignty and greater autonomy for the Western provinces in face of the threat, the existential threat we face from Mark Carney. You know, it's a multifaceted game. And I got to be honest with you, the people who say there's no difference between the CPC and the Liberal Party, they're missing it. They're missing the differences. There were some substantial differences between them. You know, there's people who say, I can't vote CPC because they're exactly the same, but they're not. You know, you make a list, a point-by-point list of how they were different. Maybe they're not different enough for you, but there were very key differences in this election. But I digress. It's over. Somehow my spidey senses think there were a few fraudulent nudges ensuring Pierre lost over and above the 91 candidates in his riding. That too. Agree totally with your take on President Trump, but fear of him pushed NDP to vote Liberal. Yeah, I mean, Trump directly interfered in our election, but it benefited the Liberal Party. So, of course, they didn't mind. And now, like I showed yesterday, they are celebrating Trump complimenting or seeming to compliment, or they're framing Trump's word as complimenting Mark Carney as a very serious man. All of a sudden, Trump's praise isn't a net negative. It's net positive. If he had said the same thing about Poilievre, the media would have been net negative all day. Total double standard. But Trump put his fingers on the scale, whether you like it or not, to defeat the Conservative Party here in Canada. And it helped the Liberals gain office, for sure. Agree totally, re-PPC fools. Lastly, Maxime Bernier going on all these talk shows was a joke. He had nothing to do. He's got time to travel around. Pierre was busy running a legitimate campaign. Yeah, Max should have been door-knocking in the Bows, but he should have been doing that in 2019 when he actually had a chance of winning the riding. But he didn't go there. He did all these other things because, in the end, the PPC does not want to win. They have no plan to win. They have no desire to win. It's a sucker's game. And I don't know. I don't know if people are ever going to figure it out. Actually, because we're on that subject. So this one, I just want to highlight for a minute. The Tucker Carlson, Maxime Bernier interview. 2 weeks ago, 423,000 views. Poilievre is afraid. Maxime Bernier on PBD, 372,000 views. And then 11 days ago on another Canadian Patriot Press, 2.1K views. And then videos uploaded directly about the party. So Bernier's own video from 11 days ago, so sooner than these, 1.6K views. Here's what you need to understand. The podcast tour did nothing. It didn't move the needle. It didn't change anything. And it probably wasn't a good idea. It hurt the PPC more than it helped. Because they were running for election here in Canada, and he spent most of his time in the United States. And they'll say he does that because the Canadians don't give him fair share of access to the media. He had plenty. He was in two debates. He ran a national campaign with 5%. He had lots of coverage. He doesn't capitalize on it. He can't be taken seriously here. They're tuning in because they want to see Tucker. They're tuning in because they want to see PBD. If they were tuning in for any other reason, on this channel, which has 38,000 subscribers, they can't cobble together 1,600 views. They're not tuning in for Max. That's why it didn't work, which I highlighted during the whole thing. He can go on these podcasts and he can get views and people think the views mean something, but he can't fill a bar back here at home. Known quantity, not going anywhere. Simple as that. Now, I've seen this pop up. Can we take a moment to show respect for Roman Barber, who flipped York blue after being kicked out of Doug Ford's PCs? Why? Because he stood up for Ontarians who questioned the vax mandates. Congratulations, sir. You deserve it. This is another feather in Poilievre's hat. O'Toole wouldn't have done this. But Poilievre embraced Barber, brought him in when Ford kicked him out. And this should have been at the beginning of the video because there's going to be fall off by the time you get to this point. Doug Ford not siding with Poilievre. Doug Ford working aggressively, just another person working aggressively to undermine the CPC's efforts in this election. Even in the postscript, trying to undermine Poilievre's leadership. Delivered 7 points increase, delivered a seat increase, did all these things. Doug Ford out there, who everybody seems to understand is a bad actor, yet there are people who share the exact same arguments as Doug Ford. They align themselves with Doug Ford while they say that they oppose him. Is it about this? Is it about Poilievre embracing Doug Ford's rejects? This Fat Trudeau, as Daniel Boardman calls him, which I think is just a... I'm not usually into colloquials, but the man is so liberally aligned. More than happy to meet with Mark Carney. More than happy to embrace him. Ontario's got an identity crisis. You don't have a conservative movement in Ontario. You people vote against liberals because you think you're saving yourself from something worse. And I've said this since 2018, not 2018, in the wake of the election of 2018, by about 2020, my ideas had been solidified. If you had have voted for Kathleen Wynne over Doug Ford, you wouldn't have had any different outcome. You're still more in debt. You're still more governed. Everything to do with the vaccine and passports and medical experiments and everything else, you would have still been under, you would have been subject to the exact same degree. And in this last election, I think I said in one of my videos, I either said do it or I don't think I said do it, but I said, you know, there's an argument to be made for just voting for Bonnie Crombie because it's more honest, at least. And I highlighted, actually, I do recall, I went through one of Doug Ford's commercials. And I showed how psychologically manipulative it actually is and how basic and how insulting to human intelligence the PC campaign was. But it worked. Had to vote for Doug Ford because it saved us from Crombie when there's really no difference. In the federal election, there was a difference, whether you like it or not. But maybe this is what it was all about. Pierre's embracement of Ford's rejects. Maybe because in politics, people can be so base. They can be so baseline. I covered this a bit yesterday. Indigenous leaders demand, this is from MS-197, Indigenous leaders demand Alberta Premier halt sovereignty discussion citing treaty violations. Two First Nations chiefs has issued formal cease and desist, blah, 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 Treaty 6, Treaty 7, Treaty 8. You know, for all the treaty land proclamations that happen before hockey games and all the words that are spoken and everything else, we're all still losing our country. There's still no property rights. Even there's no property rights in Canada, but there's really no property rights on First Nations reserves. There's still no clean water. All the billions that go pouring into the system, which in many reserves just end up in the band chiefs and his friends and his or her friends' pockets, doesn't help anybody on the ground. Maybe, just maybe, they want a better future. And just maybe, if we communicated the idea that we're all going to lose it all within the next decades, not just prosperity, we'll lose the very culture that we're trying to defend. The people who are coming in here by the millions don't care about your history. They don't care where the land came from. They want to take possession of it, which means kicking you off it. Are the reserves any less crime-free? Are they any less addicted? Has this dedication to the memory of these treaties, has this dedication to the Indian Act, none of us are supposed to say the word Indian anymore, including those of us with Native American who descend from that line. We're not supposed to use the word Indian, yet the governing document that formulates the relationship between the federal government and the organization of the reserve system is called the Indian Act, and it's still on the books. You know, I used the word Indian the other day, and somebody got upset about it. You shouldn't use that word. It's a terrible word. Doesn't represent. And my thought was just, is me using that word more harmful than all of the defects and all of the consequences of the Indian Act alone, let alone all the other things that we could bring into the discussion, including the actions of band chiefs against the interests of their own people? I mean, what's happening? If we don't start thinking about the future and put the past down, we're not going to have a future. There's a whole world out there who's only interested in using First Nations to advance their political socialist agenda. And when they're done, they'll cast you aside just as quickly. We need a people-centered movement, not a top-down movement. What else we got? We did that already. Nothing Pierre said would make a difference. It was a foregone conclusion. How does someone attract thousands of people to drive miles, wait in line for hours, then stand during a rally and then lose? Because in the wake of COVID, a lot of people don't even leave their homes anymore, the broken people on the left. So the rallies show the strength, and you see that strength in the 7-point vote surge that they gathered in. But those are motivated people. Those are the people who are harmed by the government. Those are the people who understand what's happened in the last 10 years. They're part of something. They're part of something, and they're passionate about it. They're much more passionate than the Carney crowd and the people who have been in office for 10 years. And there was no passion behind Jagmeet Singh, but passion alone doesn't push things over the finish line. Mark Olson says, living right next to the border, there was a huge presence for about a month. Pretty much died down now. Yeah, I mean, it was a news event. The 10,000 personnel and all the helicopters, it was very intense, and now it's just doesn't seem to be important to anybody anymore. We're offended, you're offended, says Scheer equals focused his entire campaign on blackface Trudeau. O'Toole focused on taxation and green initiatives. Pierre abandoned the conservative base to get liberal voters. I don't know where you get that idea from. What you should be saying is he abandoned the far right of the conservative base to appeal to the swing vote in the center. You want your politicians to try and win elections. Otherwise, they're not very good politicians. Look at the PPC, for instance. Terrible politicians. They suck the worst. They're never forming a government. It's over. If the CPC does what people like this says for them to do, they'll be losers just like you. It's the facts of the matter. And I disagree with the CPC's position on several things. But I also understand, at least conceptually, what it must be like to try and compete in this nation. Sounds like the CPC has a liberal problem. Here's a thought. Maybe the conservative position should be conservative. On guns, they were conservative. On sex, they were conservative, saying there's only two. Putting in their platform, talking about protecting women's spaces. On crime and justice, wanting to actually put criminals in jail. Pretty conservative. I don't even need to go over it all again. There was a lot there. Maybe it's not enough for you. But when you're trying to win an election, you have to try to appeal. It's just the way it is. You people can have your values all day. You can have your, I'm never changing, I've got my morals, I've got my principles, I'm never giving up. And you ain't going to win anything. You shouldn't even be competing. Just be another voice online, trying to shift the Overton window. But get out of politics. Because a politician's job is to try and win. And Trace It Back says, meanwhile, how did the PPC do? Leader lost his seat for the fifth time. I don't know if it's actually five. Maybe it is. Over 90 PPC candidates dropped out due to a lack of support. That's another thing, actually, is that the PPC is now openly embracing conspiracy theories. They say that all the influencers out there are being paid by the Conservative Party. It's not true. It's just not true. It's a conspiracy theory. And they claim that all of these candidates that just dropped out at the last minute was a CPC psyop. Nobody cares about you. This is just a myth to try and shore up that 140,000 that are still lingering along to see if they can be soaked for more donations. In 2019, we actually had self-respectability. Do you realize that in 2019, against the advice of people in the PPC, and even in 2018, Max would not talk about the leadership vote and talk about how it was stolen? He was encouraged to. He was encouraged to talk about how it wasn't audited by Deloitte and make an issue out of it, but he didn't. That was his choice. But he talks about it now. He exercises supremely bad judgment on an ongoing basis. And it shows 0.7%. What do you people think you have to offer to the conversation? You fail so hard. And yet you run around acting like you're winning. And of course, the response. Again, useless blabbering. The cope is wild. You're right. The cope is wild. The cope from PPCers is wild. Zero accountability for Max and Bernier. This is the last one so I can get it off my desk. Four of the top five freest countries in 2025 are constitutional monarchies. And I said, who writes the lists? Canada is among them. Yet Canadians have zero property rights. And their charter rights can be violated with abandon at the whims of government. And even when the government was found wrong to have done so, there are no consequences. I don't care what list we're at the top of. I honestly don't even care who compiles it. I can make judgments with my own eyes. I can see with my own eyes. When Wabkinew in Manitoba can just sign a document and seize the private property of a developer at a whim to turn it into a park. When the charter can be suspended at the whims of government and they can have been found to have broken the law and there's zero consequences, Trudeau gets to ride off in the sunset and promote his son's music career. That's his consequence. The blackface, the Gropergate, all the illegality, all the ethics violations. If you go to Wikipedia and you look at Canadian political scandals, half of those scandals have occurred since 2015. And Wikipedia is biased AF. They're so left-wing biased. And even they recognize how bad this government was. When all of these things can go on, when there's no property rights in your charter, and your charter can be suspended at a whim anyway, how can you dare say that it's a free country? When a bill like C-63, which will probably come at us again, can be proposed and passed through the House, which censors out of existence free speech, when you can have a digital media bill that comes along and essentially denies Canadians the ability to share links on social media, when the government uses your tax dollars and future tax dollars that they don't even have to subsidize the media and essentially convert all the media, the mainstream media in this country, to captured media, to state media, how can it possibly be a free country? And how can people in 2025 dare say that being a subject to a king is somehow superior to having better citizen representation? So at any rate, there's a lot wrong with Canada. And if you're one of the people trying to do something about it, don't be discouraged. Keep going. You don't need to have all the answers to have passion. You don't need to have all the answers to keep working. Sometimes you just have to put one foot in front of the other and just keep walking the path and see where it goes and make decisions as you are on your journey. It's like walking without a map. Maybe we don't have a map. Maybe we're drawing the map right now. The important thing is to get involved and get motivated. Lodge your objections. Start those petitions. Sign those petitions. Go to public meetings where they're had. Have coffee with your local acquaintances who are of like mind. Just start collaborating. Start having conversations. And pay attention. Don't be gaslit. Don't be fearful. And don't be discouraged. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.